Anyway, get you a Bible there in the seat, or if you have your own, turn to Matthew 24 to start with. How many have seen this billboard around? The drivers told me about it. This billboard is not just one, but there's many of them. It says that the rapture of the church is going to happen. Now it's May of this year. You know, somebody has decided. Did y'all see one of those somewhere? Okay. Somebody has decided that it's going to happen in May. Well, our message tonight would be, don't believe the billboards, believe the signs. Say, well, I thought a billboard is a sign. Well, it's a physical sign, but we're going to talk about some spiritual sign, some real sign, something you can literally bet your life on. In Matthew 24, starting at verse 1, he says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? They were talking about Jesus' return. He hadn't left yet. In other words, people have been looking for him ever since he left. And for 63 years, I've heard he's coming soon. And he is. Now more so than ever. It is true. He says, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And what I want you to do now, as we read down through this scripture, we've got quite a bit of scripture to read tonight, but while we're reading down through here, I want you to think of what's going on around us right now. Right now. I'm not saying that the end of times today, because I don't know. In fact, we're going to find proof that nobody knows except the Father himself. Only God the Father knows when this is going to happen. But he did say, watch for these signs. He gives us warning, fair warning. And we can either disregard the warning or take the warning. It's up to us individually. Just like the deal with the tornadoes here, you know, there was warnings put out. You know, television was saying, get to the lowest place in your house or this or that or the other. And people had the opportunity to either heed the warning or say nothing's going to really happen. And I don't know who did or who didn't. I'm just saying they had the opportunity. They had warning. The weather people said, it's coming, right? Well, some took the warning and was saved miraculously, you know, and survived it. We've heard all kinds of stories about that, but Jesus is giving us warnings and signs to look for in his word, and we need, folks, we need to heed these warnings, not to be scared, not to be afraid, not to be worried, but to be aware. Aware, just aware. I tell you what, and you may say, well, you're a little flaky. Well, I've been called worse than that. But I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
I am looking forward to the day. According to my word, the next thing we're going to see is the eastern sky is going to split wide open. And Jesus is going to be standing in the clouds. And in less than a split second, all of this is going to happen. Thessalonians says, in the twinkling of an eye. And a doctor told me one time, I was in a group where he was speaking. This optometrist, is that what you call an eye doctor?
Right. Yes, sir.
He said an eye twinkles 37 times every time you blink it. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but 30, just say 1/37th of an eye blink. That's pretty fast. So there won't be any praying then, right? Because it'd be quicker than that, and it's over. You missed the whole deal. Just like they said about the tornado, it only lasted for seconds. But look what it did in those seconds. But he gives us warnings. And I'm saying this is exciting signs to me. Instead of warnings, it's saying, Joe, it's getting closer. Hang on, man. You know, hang in there, Christian driver. I'm fixing to come get you. And if it was today, it ain't too early for me. I mean, yes, we got lost loved ones. Yes, we know people that's lost, and that'll be true whenever it happens. So that part, You know, we're going to win all we can while we're here, but selfishly, I guess, I'm looking for that day when we are caught up, the Bible says, caught up to meet Him in the air. Amen? That's exciting. But in the meantime, we need to make people around us aware of these things. And all of us are called into the ministry. I've said that many times. Any born-again Christian is called of God into ministry to share the good news that He's coming back. Now watch this. It says in verse 5 that many will come in My name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war. See to it that you're not troubled. See? Don't worry about that. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Well, the wars and rumors of war have been going on ever since I can remember. Right? So that part is going to keep going. All right? But it says the end is not yet. So that's not the end sign, so to speak. All right? It says in verse 7, nation will like rise against nation. And by the way, in the Bible, where the word used for nations is talking about groups of people. Yes, it can be a country like America, but it can also be a group of truck drivers, groups of people.
I like what's going on
in the Middle East. And so it says that a nation will arise against nation, people against people, right? We've seen families, kingdom against kingdom, it says. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. This word various means unusual places. Again, look at the weather. Wow. I mean, in places we never dreamed of. And verse 8 says, all these are just the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. You see that now? See that now? I mean, Carrie and I go way back. Some of you others might have driven for many, many years. But I remember when the camaraderie was out there and we looked out for one another. I mean, it was, you know, we was all one. Not so anymore, is it? And that's, see, that's not to blame anybody or condemn anybody. That's just one of the signs. That's another sign, another mile marker. See, we're going on down the road. Okay. And then it says in verse 11, then many false prophets or teachers, right, will rise up and deceive many. That's going on today. How many times do you hear, here's another fake preacher somewhere, you know? Well, there's fake everything, right? But again, another mile marker, another sign. When you see that, rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm serving You and not that guy. See, we don't serve any guy or any person. We serve Him and Him alone. He's the only one to follow. Many will rise up, it says, and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Ha! Don't we see that now? The love of many for God and even for each other grows cold. Where is the commitment anymore? This young man here we were talking earlier, he's not married yet. And I can understand how somebody would be scared off from it, looking around. I mean, you know, but if that commitment, see, Jan and I will be 45 years come December, you know, and I cannot imagine life without her, you know. She's as much part of me as I am, right? But that commitment. Several people come and ask me to do their wedding, and I tell them no. Because I don't see commitment. They're going in with the back door open. You know, if it don't work, we'll do this. Well, no. You don't go into it like that. Because Satan will jump all over that, and he'll build on that from day one. No, come what may, we're here for the endurance. You know, we're here, and we're going to hang in there. Well, the love of many will grow cold. We see that happening today. Verse 13, but he who endures how long?
To the end.
To the end will be saved. Ah, not the one that start out. Because all of them that start out don't finish the race, right? In a literal race or this race for time, not everybody starts out serving the Lord, stays there.
That's something I hear a lot of people say, one saved, always saved.
Well,
right there it just says that's not true.
Well, that's another story. We don't go there. We could argue that one all day. But it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? That means that it's going to be some ups and downs. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations or groups of people, and then the end will come. You know, it's our job as truckers to see that the nation of trucking gets the gospel. You know, who knows? It might be a truck driver that hadn't heard the gospel yet is the one Jesus is waiting for him or her to get it, and then we get to go home.
Praise God.
So I want to get all of them I can, and let's go find that sucker, and let's get out of here. No. Whoever that is, let's get them saved, and let's get out of here, right? You know, I love to be with my family. I was last night. Out there with the grandchildren, one of them's birthday, and we wound up I felt like Carrie. I was riding a go-kart last night, and three of them was too little to drive by themselves, so you have to get a two-seater and let them ride with you, know. My little granddaughter said, go faster, go faster. I can't. But having a ball with them, and I love to be with them, but I love to be with my wife. I just love to be with her. But there's a love greater than that that cannot even really be explained, right? And just to be in His presence, the thought of being in His presence, always, always. It's great to be here with y'all, you know, and enjoy the fellowship we have in our fellowship with the Holy Spirit here that's in all the born-again Christians.
Yes.
But now imagine always there. No Tylenol needed. No more problem. Now I can't even hardly imagine that, but the Word says it, so I believe it, and I'm going to get there one day. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of work to do. And here we got these warning signs we need to adhere to. Let's drop on down. Verse 21. There's so much to read here. I'm going to try to shorten it. So we can get out of here before midnight? No. Verse 21 says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's going to be bad, bud. It said if it was not shortened, this tribulation period, nobody could be saved. But, thank God, it says, but for the elect's sake, who is that?
Us.
Us, exactly. All born again Christians. He said, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. In other words, He's going to make it where we can handle it. Now, we have trouble. We have trial. We have problems. Carrie and Sharon, I was talking the other night, you know, and sometimes this person will get healed and that person don't. You know, this person lives and that one dies. The tornadoes, some good people was killed in it, no doubt. We don't understand all that. And it's not for us to understand necessarily. Our Father has a plan.
Amen.
And all we got to do is do what He tells us to do. He reminded me one time, speaking to my heart, that He didn't hire me to be a detective. He did not need me to check out what everybody was doing. None of your business is what He said. I'll handle it.
I have to remember that one.
I got you. He said, if you keep Joe Hunter straight, you'll have a full-time job. Believe me.
Amen.
And I said, amen to that. You know, in fact, I can't even do that, right? But so, in other words, one of the ways Satan wins is we're so busy. It said the love of many will grow cold. This is what I was thinking of when I was studying this, is that Satan will use this that, you know, I start watching Carrie say. And if you watch Joe Hunter long enough, you'll see him falter because he's a human being.
Amen.
He'll say something you think he ought not have said. He'll do something you think he ought not have done, or he won't do what he should have done, right? And then you say, well, I'm just not going to believe God. You know, and don't ever put anybody in that position, okay? But some do that, and when that person falters, then they just leave God. They just leave the church, leave, you know. That's what I think he's talking about, and that's another little mile marker, right? We see these things happening, but don't be alarmed, right? I know who I am, and I know what he has promised me. I was just sharing with the driver out there. He wouldn't come in. He said he hadn't had a shower. And I told him he could come in and sit downwind. It'd be all right. But he didn't want to come in, and that's okay. But I said, are you born again? And he said, well, I hope so. And I said, well, no, no, no. You can know. Without any doubt, you can know. See? And again, a little sign, we need to know who we are in Christ. Amen? Amen? If I showed up and at your daddy passed away and left a multi-million dollar estate, and I show up in there, in the room, some of you would say, well, what are you doing here? You know, you're not one of the family. But if I produced a document where he had legally adopted me and gave me full rights, then I would get part of that estate, right? Well, it just so happened that I have a document here.
Amen,
that my father wrote, and he adopted me,
yes.
Good, bad, and ugly, all of my faults, all of my problems, he adopted me and gave me full benefit to the kingdom of God. You don't get no better than that. Whatever it goes through down here, it's worth it. Amen? Yes. Whatever we have to go through to get there. And all, he said in verse 25, he says, see, I have told you beforehand. I've told you. In other words, it's written in the Bible, it's recorded, that all these things are going to happen, but don't be alarmed. The very elect, and when I see the very elect, I may be wrong here, but let's just say that's, you know, big time ministers. People that's reached people that we'll never even dream of, millions and millions. But we've already seen, and we're not going to call any name, but we've already seen that they are not beyond Satan's attack. In fact, they are right in the front line. The more you get into it, the more he comes after you. Believe me, I know that. You know, the little that we get to do, but he's coming. But I know that, see, because he said, I told you beforehand. You know, we spend a lot of time. Anybody in Vietnam? I'm the only one old enough. Okay, go ahead and say that. I understand. Well, we spend a lot of time in what they call in-country training, in-country orientation. And they were telling us this, that, and the other. And this big old sergeant up there was, you know, all of a sudden it's reality, man. You went through basic and you went through AIT, but now you're there. And you wake up. I woke up one morning at 19 years old and realized, these people are trying to kill me. This is not a John Wayne movie where everything works out all right, you know? And that scared me half to death just to think about that. And not only that, I've got 12 months ahead of me. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts. I'm here, okay? But the good part about this war that we're in is we know who wins.
Amen.
So that's why I'm not alarmed. I'm not alarmed. Come what may, all the stuff can be gone. That's okay. We've lived without it before. Jan and I have been so broke we couldn't pay attention. I'm telling you. And you know, it was tough. It was tough. Lost our home, lost the business, went down to nothing. Started renting a mobile home, started all over again. You know?
Yeah, this too will pass.
But God never left us.
Amen.
Not for a minute. He didn't leave us. And he never will. But he said, all these things are coming. You're going to be hated by people, right? You're going to be done wrong. I had something on my credit, and I had a letter from the corporation that supposedly did that, and saying Joe Hunter owes us nothing. And the credit bureau wouldn't take it off. They said, quote, we'll not take it off, end quote. And legal, nobody wouldn't touch it because they were scared of it, right? God said, don't worry about it. You did all you could do, right? It's wrong. You've done all you can do. Now sit back and let me take care of things. And it wasn't long. I was in our little bank one day, and I wanted to buy this old used El Camino. And I don't think it was $500-$600 or something. It wasn't much. And the banker, I don't know how the conversation come up. And the guy said, you need money, you come see me. You don't worry about it. I said, really? He said, yeah. You want that car? I said, yes, sir. He walked in the office, brought a form out, said, sign right there. There wasn't nothing on the form. I signed my name. They cut me a check. He said, we'll fill it out later. Go on and get your car. That's God.
Reestablish your credit.
Reestablish my credit. We paid that off, and from there we built back up, right? So what I'm saying is, you know, in my flesh, in the flesh, there's no way to overcome that because they blackballed you, so to speak. Like your DAC, is it?
Right.
This thing? And that's the Bible in some case. But God can override that, right? Just don't be alarmed, right? Even if he got you out of trucking, he got something better. Amen?
Amen.
Go on down now. I want you to watch this in particular before I get carried away. I'm excited,
Amen.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Something good.
I'm excited. There's something good about to happen. I don't know if it'll be today or 10 years from now or 50 years from now. I don't think it'll be that long because I'm 63 and I plan on seeing it happen. I plan on cheating the undertaker out of the money. I'm going to go live and in color. NBC used to say, right?
Amen.
Look down at verse, let's see, 30, let's go to 35. But it says, but of that day and hour, now here's where we go back to the billboard thing, okay? Watch this. But of that day and hour, what?
Heaven and earth pass away.
Yeah, but he says, no one knows. No one knows. Verse 36, right? Yeah, verse 36, I'm sorry. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but who?
My Father only.
So the guy with the... That's right.
That's
the guy with the billboard does not know.
When you said that earlier,
so,
I was sitting here thinking to myself, because we had discussed this a few years ago, that how amazing it is that Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father and he don't even know when it's going to happen.
Exactly.
So how does man makes a billboard of another?
That's another one of those that we can't figure out. If they're the same, how come he don't know? Well, he can choose not to know. I don't know. I don't got no answer for that. Now, watch this, though. Verse 37. And again, compare this to now. Watch this. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were doing what?
Eating, drinking.
What now? Does that look familiar? Party, party, right? We're in a party atmosphere. Don't worry about nothing. People today even mock God. I never dreamed I'd see that. I mean, just literally mock Almighty God. Boy, I tell you, you're walking on thin ice, you know. But it says here, all that was going on up till the day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and what took how many away? Took them all away. All right, let's go on a minute. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one taking the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taking the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know, right? You do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, one of the signs it says here is to compare the days of Noah, right? Now, I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to Noah. That had to have been, here's a guy, God said, go build an ark. Anybody ever heard Bill Cosby's rendition of that? Said, God told Noah, go build an ark. He said, what's an ark? Well, think about it. Ain't never been one. All right? Not only that, he says, go build this boat that's about 450 feet long, according to the Bible. 450 feet long. There ain't no water nowhere around there to float the thing.
And it takes him, what, 40 years to build?
And day after day after day, he was out there doing what? Building and preaching. He was saying it's going to rain.
And the people go by and laugh at him.
Exactly. And what's ironic is it had never rained before. Never had water fallen out of the sky. So here's this idiot in the people's eyes.
Right.
And you know, I can only imagine if Jay Leno had been around, some of these late night, I can't even watch them no more, but anyway, if it had been a late night talk program, they would have had to said, has anybody seen the guy over there building the boat? You know? He's got to be stupid.
They would have never seen a boat. They would have started scratching it. We don't know what he's built, but he killed some.
He says it's going to rain. Now, what is rain? But my point is that what I want to see is that's where we are today. When you go out and tell people Jesus is coming soon.
They look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that.
All my life
I've heard that. Well, one thing I like to refer them back to is Noah. And after all those years, it rained. It rained. Just like he said. And just like he said about Jesus coming, he's coming. Believe it or not, he's coming. And I had rather believe it and be ready for it and it not happen than not be ready and have it happen. Now, personally, there's no chance of it not happening.
Amen.
You know, when? I don't know.
You're going to feel it in your heart. It's going to happen.
Yes, you know. You know that you know that you know. But listen, when you feel like an oddball and people treat you like an absolute idiot for witnessing.
Smile.
Right? Smile. Because I know who's going to win, man.
Like it says in Philippians, let your light shine.
Amen, brother.
That's right. And we're in the darkest time, you know, like I say, that's ever been. It's difficult. People will mock you. I know where there's a company that had it's got a sign on every trailer. And it just says, it's not a choice, it's a child. They had a customer say, take that off or don't come back.
Oh, my goodness.
And the owner of the company, I'm proud to say, said the sign stays. So they lost that account. See, but that's okay.
Amen.
And that'll happen to you and me. Somewhere along the line, we may be called on to witness. And what I mean by that is it might be as simple as just living your life. You'll have a choice of either put up or shut up. And of course, if you know me, shut up's not a real good option anyway. I mean, I ain't never been real good at that, even before I got saved, you know. But now that I know I'm on the winning side, turn over to page 29. Turn over to page 29. It should be Matthew 25. But I want you to just remember, y'all, not if they mock you, not if they ridicule you, they're going to do that. You know why? One reason the world does that is because it's very jealous of what we have. I had a very wealthy man one time asked me why I was so happy all the time. He wasted more money than I'll ever make. And I looked at him, I said, Richard, I have something in my heart that your money can't buy. And that's called peace. But I said, you could have both if you had your priorities straight. I said, believe it or not, God doesn't need a dime you have. He owns the whole universe. He doesn't need me, I need him. And you know, but then again, as you know, us men have a problem with that little word called submit. When you say submit, even to God, it just kind of don't sound right. You know, are you at Matthew 25?
Yes.
Here's what Jesus said here. He said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. And by the way, before I read this, to preface it a little bit, since we don't know when he's coming, we just know he is. Amen. Everybody in here agree that he is coming?
Yeah.
It is going to happen?
He's on the way.
All right, but then we need to get prepared.
Amen.
I mean, more than lip service, we need to be prepared. We need to live every day like it's the last. Now, plan your life like it's going to be another 100 years. I mean, I'm planning, putting money back and helping my children and planning for the grandchildren college and that sort of thing. I don't believe they'll ever use none of that. But if I do, that's okay. It's there. Like I said, I'd rather be prepared and not need it. Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather have it not need it than need it not have it in any circumstance. Well, it says here now, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, this is a parable Jesus is teaching, okay? Verse 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. Now, in other words, there were 5 here that prepared and 5 that did not, all right? But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Jesus' return hadn't happened, so some slumber and sleep spiritually. Here's what he's trying to tell us, see, that we'll go to sleep thinking he's not coming. But let's go back now. Even while they were sleeping, it says it, in fact, verse 6, it says, But at midnight, in the middle of the night, right, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for you and for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. While they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door
was shut.
If we're not ready, and looking, and working, and do what he tells us to do,
the door will be shut in your face.
And I'm telling you, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be on the inside looking out. And so the similarity of this situation is just like today. There's people preparing and there's people that's not prepared. And I believe with all my heart, now, and we can disagree on this, I'm fascinated by the space program. I would be a Trekkie. I would be wanting to get on one and go see what's out yonder.
Amen.
I mean, I'm just curious. I know that's all fiction, but I'd like to go see what's beyond our universe, you know. But, you know, who knows what's out there? God has created our universe where we're at. So I want to be prepared when he comes back. I don't know where I was going with that, so it must not have been good. But just like the 5 wise virgins here talks about, we need to get ready. We need to have everything in order. All right, we're born again, yes, but what is God calling us to do beyond that? He didn't save us for us to sit down. We're not born again just to sit and wait.
He told us to be soldiers and go out and reach.
That's right. He said go out and reach the lost. You know, I jokingly say we go around recruiting all the time at churches. In fact, we got a deal set up in Byron right now. And it'll be there all next week. The Assemblies of God in Georgia are getting together. And they've allowed us to be a part of that. We're going into churches and looking for workers to keep these open. But some, I'm sad to say, some sing win the lost at any cost, but don't call me. Now, if we're not careful, we'll be there doing the same thing. Because he's called all of us, right?
Amen.
He's called all of us to reach the lost at any cost. Doesn't matter. So what if they don't like me? You need to get over that. You know,
we're all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We're hanging in there together. You know, it's our job to go and tell. Today is what date? Anybody know?
The day to look for a new soul.
This is what's the date?
You know, you did.
This is May 1st.
Yeah.
May Day.
May Day.
What happens when you in a ship that's going down or a plane that's going down? What do they say?
May Day.
Exactly. What is it? It's a distress signal. We need this day, more than ever, to say, Mayday, Mayday. This world is in trouble. This trucking industry is in trouble. And God has planted those of us who are born again in it to save it. Now, not everybody will be saved, we know that. But He's got us strategically planted. Got moved Carrie and Sherry over in the lawnmower repair business. They're old, retired, has-been truck drivers, you know. Not really. But He moved them over there to reach another group. And even in lawnmower racing, here's another group, right? Another nation. Remember, we found out that means group of people, right? I mean, NASCAR has a ministry going on. NHRA's got a ministry going on. In other words, the ministry's going out. Trucking. I remember when you couldn't find a chapel or a truck stop. Amen? I mean, if you did, it was very few, and we're nowhere near there yet. We've got, what, 75 places, and that's not even scratching the surface because there's thousands of truck stops. So we need to keep going. I was sitting the other day with the owner of a company. They have about 3,000 trucks. And the president and I was talking, and we were talking about, you know, times are rough. Times are hard. And I said, in my logical mind, we should be reeling in. We should be cutting back. But in my spirit, man, it says go. Go. Do more. Because of what we're talking about here tonight is we're out of time. We're just flat out of time. And we should be screaming to the top of our voice, Mayday, Mayday. We're in trouble. Turn to page 35. And I want to show you where we're sent out. And as some of you already know, this is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission.
What chapter?
Matthew 28, verse 16, page 35 in the little book. And he was talking to disciples. And we've already established before, but what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Anybody know? A follower, exactly. Now, as born-again Christians, what are we? We're followers or disciples, right, of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow after Him, we're His disciple. So everything He told that group then, He's telling every one of us. Amen? Do you believe that?
Amen.
And He gave us this commission in Matthew 28. And I'm glad He didn't just pick the ones that spoke eloquently. He didn't pick the ones that could sing great. He just told all of them. You know, He had, if you look at His disciples, there's 12 that He started with. Now He's got 11 in this case because Judas had done messed up and that was history. But now, you look at, if you looked at them and their resume, none of them would make membership hardly in any church today, right? I mean, whoa, we're talking misfit. So what that tells me is there's hope for me. Amen? That makes me feel good. Now I look at some of them, I say, man, I ain't bad as he was. But you know what? He didn't go.
The biggest sinners wrote most of the New Testament.
He didn't go to the seminary to recruit. He went out in the street. What we would say, the highways and the byways, and guess who's there? You, the truck driver that moves America, right? Here He said in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples, again, Judas is already out of the picture, went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but what?
Some doubted.
You always got them. Right? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the groups of people. It says nations, but we've established that the word nation means groups, right? In fact, I would go on to say, and my paraphrase would say, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the truckers, because that's where we're at. That's the group of people we deal with, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you most of the time.
Always.
Even to the end of the age. Who was he talking to? Exactly. That was clearly for you and me today. Got all these mile markers, all these warning signs, all these situations for our training purposes. You call anywhere today and this phone call may be recorded for training purposes, right? Okay, training purposes. You're trying to get all the data from me you can get. That's what it is. But this Bible was written for training purposes, to train you and me, to let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't care who says what, let's go back to this. And many, many times I've been told, well, the good book says, and I say, where? Where? Tell me. I'm from Missouri, you have to show me. I'm not, but, you know, I'm kind of stubborn about that because my eternal well-being is in the balance here. You know, you're talking about heaven or hell. You're talking about eternal life. There's only one book that I'll believe in. It's this one, the Bible. What your pastor said or my pastor said or what Chaplain Joe said doesn't count at all. It's what this said. Because when we stand before God, you can say, well, I was born again under so-and-so. He said, well, that's your problem. You should have been born again through the Word. There's only one thing, and I remember I used to attend First Baptist Atlanta many, many years ago and listen to Dr. Stanley, and when the ministry was first starting. But anyway, if you go to join the church, I don't know about now, they ask you one question, and I loved this when I found it out. They would ask you, if I was God, and you come to my heaven, and I ask you why I should let you in, what would you tell me?
Jesus.
That's the right answer. But I was told by the people that many, many times, and we've heard it, I've been a good person. I've never done this. I've never done that. There's only one answer. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and His blood has covered my sin. That's what gets us in, right? And the good part is, as I told that driver before we started out there, standing right by the step, you can know. There's no doubt. I had a pastor one time look at me in the face and said, well, you can't be that sure.
Wow.
Pastor of a church. No, I'm not going to tell you where or who or even what denomination it was.
But who knows? You might get saved tomorrow.
Exactly. I hope he's saved now because I said, sir, I'm more sure of that than I am that I'm standing here. Why? Because the Word of God says so.
Amen.
And that is sure.
Amen.
Tonight, we close. I want to do this. I want to close with a simple prayer because 1 John 1 and 9 says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, no matter what it is.
Yes.
No matter what it is. Maybe the sin of unbelief. We might have got lax. Might love the Lord, but maybe been a little lax. Maybe we hadn't witnessed like we ought to. And when we pray together, nobody's going to be pointed out. I don't like to do that. You know, the man that married Jan and I, I went to a service or two before we got married because that's the only way I could be with her. I sure didn't want to go. He'd come down the aisle and come to where you was at and get you by the arm. And the only reason I didn't deck him is because we was in that church, you know, but that ain't the way to do it. I can't drag you into heaven. You know, you can't drag me. You got to make up your own mind. You know, God loves us enough to let us go to hell. Did you know that? If we go, we're going over His dead body, but He allows us to make a choice. I love Jan simply because I love Jan, not because I have to, just because I want to. And that's the way our relationship with God ought to be. And I think if I really love God, I want to share that with somebody else. So tonight as we pray this prayer, whatever God might lead, speak to your heart about, and we don't have to itemize or speak it out, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And the people listening on CD can even pray it also. But I want you say, well, I'm born again. I don't need it. Well, that's fine. If you're saved, you're saved. But if there's something in your life that you know about, then we need to leave it right here because we're fixing to have communion after this service. And that's only for those that are living outside willful sin. Again, we all goof up. We're not perfect. But there's a difference in willful sin and unwillful sin. In other words, unwillfully I sin all the time. But I don't do it intentionally. I don't know it till it happens sometimes. Amen? And then I say, whoa, you know, forgive me. But if there's something in your life that you know is not right, whatever that might be, have it in your mind when we pray this prayer. And according to the Word of God, He's going to remove it. Not only will He remove it, He said in Hebrews, He'll remember it no more. I like that part. He will literally forget that you ever sinned. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me where I've done wrong.
Come into my heart.
Be my Savior. And also,
help me to learn
to let you be the Lord of my life. That is, I submit to you my whole life,
every part of me.
Use me for your glory.
I'll give you the praise.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.